I think a lot of people still sleep on social media.
They do. They're like, does it actually bring in sales? If you're not on social media, you're actually losing sales. Yeah. You're becoming obsolete.
How are you? Welcome to the Entrepreneur Experiment podcast with me, Gary Fox. Today, we've got Nadia from Ashford Motors. She's figured out how to sell supercars on social media. Here's my chat with Nadia. Going green, becoming more sustainable, it's everywhere, right? Everyone wants to be greener and do their bit to help. But sometimes, for your business, there are more important things to do. It's hard to find the time. Well, take it out of your hands because it's all in a day's work for your local enterprise office. They have the time and the experts to sort it for you. And the best bit is, it'll help your business, save you time, money, and energy. Perfect, right? The Green for Business audit will assess your business and tell you where you can make changes. And the new energy efficiency grant will help you pay for those changes. And your local enterprise office will sort the whole process for you. Go to www.allinadayswork.ie/green, fill out the form that takes less than 2 minutes, and your local enterprise office will take it from there. Going green? It's all in a day's work for your local enterprise office. Before we dive into today's episode, I want to share a game changer for your business, Azure Communications. When it comes to print and marketing solutions, these folks, led by CEO Jenny Johnston, are the real deal. Whether you need an eye-catching brochure, sleek business cards, or a full-blown digital campaign, Azure Communications has you covered. They're not just about high-quality prints or digital campaigns, they're also about delivering great results. And here's the best part. Just for listeners of The Entrepreneur Experiment, you can get 20% off your first order. Just give them a call or go online and use the code FOX20. With personalized service and fast turnaround times, Azure Communications will help you make the impact your business deserves. Trust me. When it comes to making your brand stand out, Azure Communications is the provider of choice. Check them out at azurecom.ie, use code FOX20 and elevate your marketing game today. Many of you listening to the pod are business owners and savvy investors, but have you been introduced to peer-to-peer lending? Peer-to-peer lending is the practice of lending money directly to other individuals or businesses without the need for a traditional intermediary like a bank. Property Bridges offers you the opportunity to lend directly to experienced home builders across Ireland through their innovative online investment platform. Investors earn returns of up to 9% per annum, and your money is fully secured against property. To learn more, visit propertybridges.com. Property Bridges is regulated by the Central Bank of Ireland. Nadia, welcome to the pod.
Thank you so much for having me.
I'm going to take this opportunity to get some advice off you. I'm thinking about buying an EV. What one would you recommend?
Oh, I thought you were going to ask me what to get a bra size for your wife or something like that. I thought that's where you were going with this. EV, wow, what a fiasco. Look, everybody knows my stance on EVs. And personally, as a financial decision, it wasn't for me. And when I came out, I was more so getting annoyed at how many people were ringing me trying to sell me their EVs. And I couldn't get a price for them. And I didn't want to ruin my reputation locally with customers that I couldn't get them a good deal on a car. So I just sort of came out and said, look, that's it. And then 3 months later, the stats were out and EV sales were down. They are still down 25% in July. And this has been happening since last year. Like, I come from an analysis background, equity analysis. What I do is analyze markets and trends. I've done that for years and I could see this happening in America, in Europe, and it started happening in England. And then it happened in Ireland and everyone was talking about it behind closed doors. All the dealers were talking about it. We don't want them. They're piles of shite, excuse my language. And I was like, do you know what? I can't make money on this anymore. It's too risky. It's too uncertain for my small business. I cannot.
So what happened was you put out a Instagram, TikTok?
TikTok. And yeah, and it was literally like first thing in the morning because I was so annoyed about the whole thing. And I was like, I'm going to lose money here. I can't take a hit. So I put out a TikTok video and boom, it was like Nadia Whistleblower EV part 5. It was just like.
But people went mental. Yeah. Like the reaction was crazy.
It was crazy and like huge support and loads of messages from dealers and people working in main dealers going, we would love to say this, but we can't. Because a main, you can just, if something doesn't work out for you, a main dealer, you just throw the car back to the manufacturer. They'll absorb the loss.
Right.
Because I'm not biased. If I could make money on EVs and as a sustainable income long term and also look after my customers with them, I would do it. I'm not biased. I'm a secondhand car dealer.
You'll go where the money is.
I'll go where the money is and where that there's actually a long term, you know, like long-term fundamental value there for even customers. So customers are having issues with like batteries going or cells going and it becoming very costly. There's a lot of like issues around here that's like bigger. So skilled knowledge, we don't have that in Ireland. We have very little skilled knowledge when it comes to EVs. A lot of workmanship, they've gone, you know, they need a lot of technology. They need a lot of skilled labor. So things are still really expensive fixing an EV problem versus an ICE car that's been around whatever years, because they do argue with you, oh, ICE versus EV. Yeah, but it's like iPhones. You're not, you don't want a secondhand iPhone. Technology changes so quick.
Yeah.
The second thing is it is infrastructure. The infrastructure hasn't changed here. We have 1,900 charging points whole of Ireland. Norway, which is a similar population, has 25,000.
Wow.
So that's the difference.
Do you think we're too early, or do you think EVs will never happen?
I think definitely they might happen in the future, but it's not going to be the end goal. I think EVs would work really well as a second car at home for short runs, and they need to be a lot cheaper than they were. Like, you cannot be paying 100 grand for an EV, for a battery powered car. The Lewis is an electric car. The Lewis runs on electricity. An EV is a battery powered car.
Okay. There's a nice little spicy start for us.
Spicy link.
So let's go back to the start. What do you do?
Yeah, so I'm a car dealer. I have a garage called Ashford Motors in Wicklow, which I started 4 years ago, just before the pandemic started. So I started the business in January 2020 and lockdown happened in March.
Nice timing.
Perfect timing. So I was born out of uncertainty, I think, and I was born at a time where, you know, everybody was online and, you know, I kept my margins really low at the beginning, which was very helpful because I had to. I was uncertain. I didn't know if the business was going to work. I come from a finance background, so this was totally new to me as well. And I think I was just born in a catastrophe, which kind of led me to how I had to kind of operate the business from the early days.
How'd you get into it though? How'd you get into cars?
Yeah, so I was an analyst, equity analyst, and then a stockbroker, and you know, obviously a really good corporate job. It's not even 9 to 5, it's like 7 a.m. to like 8 p.m. every day. That's finance for you, you know, and it's like 5 days a week. Then you're studying on a Saturday, you know. I did my postgrad in Trinity, I did my stockbroking exams in UCD, I was studying for my CFAs, so I was really like, you know, getting qualified in this field.
You're on the track.
This is where I was going to be. And I was working with all these, I was working in a shark tank with 18 guys. I was the only girl. And the other lady, that she was the head of the whole team, so she was feisty. So it was just the two of us and I was very junior. And I was working with all these guys and they're on crazy money and they're traders and they're just mad. They loved their Porsches and their Range Rovers and their M5s. And I was like, oh my God, I'm going to need a car, like a nice car. To
Were you into cars?
No, really, I wasn't into cars. Like, I always knew what a nice car looked like. But I'm like, I would never, like, I'm not a mechanic. Now I know my way around a car and now I know a good car versus a bad car, how a car should drive or what to look out for. But I'm still not a Formula One mechanic. You don't need to be to sell a good product or service. That's why I have good mechanics in place to do that work for me. So I took out my first loan. I bought my first flashy car. And at the time it was a 08 BMW 320 M Sport manual in the white. And it was just out of this world. It was, I just felt like I'd made it, you know, and it's that big first loan we all have, you know, and I ended up selling it in a car park on my lunch break one day, made a few quid, loved it. Did again. And I just loved it. And then
so you started trading your way up the cars, did you?
Just trading and like, so I was making a few quid and then I'd drive it myself and then I'd sell it and then I'd make another few quid privately rather than trading it in and buy another car. And then I just met people in the trade that way and built up relationships and stuff like that. And then I just decided to quit my job just before the pandemic because I wasn't happy.
Why?
I don't know. I think I just wasn't happy being in a box. And it was, you know, as much as it was, I was on a very good wage, like, you know, and guaranteed up to whatever I wanted to be. And, you know, it was very tough because my whole background was education based. My mom, single mom, brought me up here and her thing, she didn't want me to struggle. She struggled her whole life. So she was like, education, education, education. So when I told her, like, look, I'm leaving my fancy job as a stockbroker, going to sell cars on the side of the road, like, she was just like, wanted to disown me.
What did she say?
Oh, she was like, everything I've done for you, like all the money I've spent on you, because like it was Trinity's not cheap, like, you know, and she didn't have the money to do it at the time. She had to do a payment plan and everything, and, you know, oh, you're going to let everyone down and all this type.
Wow.
And I was like, just trust me and just wait. I never listened to my mom anyway. Like, we're always fighting growing up, but like, because we're the same. She did that to her parents, you know, and she overcame so much in her world. And then she just wanted me to like have a better life than her. But I was like, no, I want to do things my own way. And also the culture, you know, she comes from a different culture than I do. I've been brought up in Tala, for God's sake. And she's Somalian Muslim. So there was that kind of growing up and stuff. But like, we're so close now, like, because she sees now, she's like, okay, I actually have more time for her now. Because I do, you know what I mean? And I can buy her nice stuff and, you know, do nice things for her. And she's, I think she's happy now. Now she's super proud. Like, she has my calendar. She's like sending the calendar to all the uncles.
No way.
You know, and she's
proud. What's Natty up to these days? Yeah, well, I'll send you a calendar.
Yeah, she's like, proud. Okay. She's like, I'll take 10. I'm like, I'm charging you.
I love that. No family discount.
Yeah.
So, how did you know, right? Because that's a huge, like, right turn. Like, how did you know it was the right thing to do? Because that's the big thing for most founders that are listening. They're like, oh, I've got this idea, but I just don't know.
Yeah, I didn't know it was the right thing to do, but I knew I built myself up to a point that if it didn't work, I could go back to a job like that, no issue. And I think when you're side hustling, because I suppose that's what I was doing, and you're in a normal job, you just have to get to a point where you can financially leave your job, like you are making enough to get by, that you can stop your monthly paycheck and jump in 2 feet, because this will never grow if you don't.
Yeah.
But you have to get to that point. And I didn't get to that point for a while because then eventually I was like, no, do you know what? I've enough there to put a lease out for a year. And it was a cheap yard, like, as some garages will call me, or they did call me, don't call me anymore, a backstreet garage, actually.
Backstreet garage.
Very, very well-known garage called me that there recently. And, you know, I was a backstreet garage. I was a nobody in a yard in the middle of Wicklow, and the pandemic hit. And then that's what really pushed me on social media.
What was your plan?
Survive, pay the bills, make money, like all the like non-emotional stuff, like just day by day.
Just get going.
Just pray to God I'd sell a car. And then you never know when you're going to sell a car. So selling cars is all about turnover. So, you know, you buy a car for $2,000 or whatever it was, and how quickly are you going to sell that car and make money so you can reinvest that and buy another one? Because you're only working with your capital at that time when you're building, or your loan, your personal loan, whatever you choose to start off with. You can really start selling cars with $10,000. You could start with $10,000. I started pretty much like that and build it. And then eventually where I'm at now, banks are throwing money at me. I'm getting capital from lenders and stuff like that. There was a period of I had to use high street lenders to get more capital, and that crucified me, but it's almost like a necessary evil to go through that as well. So yeah, so I really didn't know how it was all going to work out. I just kept going. And I think when I started getting a bit of pushback at the beginning, that really drove me to like go, no, I'm going to prove myself here.
Yeah. And what, like January 2020, like literally kind of February, March, it all kicked off. So what did you do?
So when it all kicked off, it was more so, okay, first of all, like, how am I going to sell cars? So then obviously I was trying to do all the health and safety stuff, like buy everything in, buying all the masks, buying all the sanitizer, buying the big gun. As I said, I was dressed up like Breaking Bad, like, you know, my hazmat suit, like spraying everything down. And then my next thing was, how will people know that there's a girl out in Rottnew trying to sell cars in an industrial estate? So then I started, and like, obviously I think it's my age group as well. Like, I'm 33, but then I was in my late 20s. So I was all about social media anyway. I was on Instagram myself.
You were native to it.
Yeah, I was used to it. Like, and I grew up like watching the Kardashians and stuff. So I've always been into like, you know, social media and stuff like that. So then I started like an Instagram account and started doing videos. And it was funny at the time because there was another couple of garages that started blocking me on Instagram at the time. And I was just like, everything just kept pushing me to go, no, I'm going to keep going. And I just started doing stories of like when a car would come in and then when a car would go. So then the stories built to like full on videos, and then eventually got my own videographer, tried doing loads of professional videos, which they did really well. They ended up being showcased on RT in a documentary called Secrets of the Showroom. There's no secrets at all, but it was good fun. And then that really like, you know, elevated my profile again. And then I always stuck to like keeping the professional videos because people could say what they want. They could say, oh, she just has her boobs out, she's doing that. But then they look at the professional stuff and they're like, hang on a second. So it's really important for me to always keep a level of professionalism while I'm doing like funny viral videos to boost the brand out there, but also keep a level of like a good business fundamentally. You see, you can market how you want if your business is good. Sex sells, boobs sell, but you're not going to have a long-term business just from sex sells. You need to have a fundamentally good business behind you that you look after customers. You've done your I's, you're doing your T's. Like, I've just become a credit intermediary there in the last few weeks so I can offer better finance deals for my customer. I was doing everything behind the scenes to make it a good business as much as I could, because it would allow me then to market how I want it.
Okay.
And if people were there saying this and that about her, I was happy because I was off here doing a deal and gone.
They were distracted over here by all the glitz and glamour, whereas behind the, I love that strategy because that was the one thing I was dying to chat to you about today, because if you look at your social, it's so good. And when you're in the content game, you can kind of look at someone's social and go, I can see exactly the talent and the skill and the planning and the thought. Some people look at social and go, oh yeah, she's just got an iPhone and she's having a crack and she's been funny or whatever. But then when you look at the thought and skill that's gone into it, so I was dying to like tease that out with you to see how you thought about it. So how did you kind of make that transition? Because you make it sound so easy there. I thought, oh, I did this and then I got a videographer and blah, blah, blah. So like, bring me back to you making those videos, because creating content's hard. Putting yourself out there is hard.
It's consistency and it's tedious and you'll spend hours, if not years, doing stuff and getting nothing from it. But it all builds to something. Like, I can wholeheartedly say on my hand now, I'm selling like there's no tomorrow because of social media.
Really?
On Instagram. Like, I sell cars. I put up a car on Instagram. It's sold.
Directly from Instagram.
That's
wild.
Yeah, all my sales. So Instagram is more sales based for me. I do a lot of deals, and then TikTok is to brand awareness, go viral, have fun, connect with customers, connect, you know, have that relationship with my customers that
I have. Think of them differently as like different
very
channels.
Different, yeah. Okay. Now I do get the odd sale. I did sell, so one of my viral videos was my first Any Guesses I've ever done. So if you know about my Any Guesses, it's me in the back of a car, bent over, you know, bit cleavagey, and you have to guess the car. So there's a lot going on there. And I got like whatever, 2 million views, and it was an 8 second video, and I actually sold that car from that 8 second video.
What?
And it was an Audi R8. It was an 80 grand car. And that's when the penny dropped for me. And sorry, I know we're going off topic here, what you're asking, but that's when the penny dropped for me. I was like, hang on a second, there's something here.
Brilliant.
That can be utilized as a tool that will actually lead to sales. Everyone that comes out to me or rings about a car, they know me. They're
really?
Like, Nadia, how are you? Saw your video last week. Actually, I'm ringing about this car. Or like, keep me in mind if that car ever comes in. So there's so much potential for business as well.
I think that'll blow people's minds though, because I think a lot of people still sleep on social media.
They do. They're like, does it actually bring in sales? If you're not on social media, you're actually losing sales. Yeah. You're becoming obsolete.
Or they're not doing it with a strategic mind like you. I think a lot
I don't
of
know
people,
if it's that strategic. Well,
in hindsight. But yeah, I think a lot of people hindsight. Do and just kind of like scattergun here, scattergun there, scattergun here, scattergun there. Bits and bobs.
People
and don't
throw
stick
up
with it.
Something like once a month and then expect you can't. I threw up a video 3 weeks ago, didn't do well, and then they get disheartened. You have to do it every day. You have to find stuff that's happening in your day to day. And I know I make it sound easy, and I really don't mean to come, because it's not, but it's worth it. And nothing easy in life is worth it. Like, if it was easy, everybody would be doing it.
Yeah. Hopefully you're listening to the pod and you're feeling inspired. Maybe you want to do new things in your own business, or maybe you have that brilliant idea you've always wanted to bring a little bit further and see if it works. So why not right now? You listen to the majority of the guests in this show, and they've been helped by the local enterprise office at some stage in the journey. They have something for everybody. Whether you have that idea you want to develop, you want to get your products to new markets, you want to innovate your existing products, or you want to expand staff and premises, they have the supports to help. So why not today? If you want to start up or grow your business, then contact your local enterprise office today. And talk to me then about how much of your day is social. Because like, you can see the effort that goes into how much of your, like, an average day.
Every day.
Like how much, say, of
like,
the day?
I'm on my phone all the time. Like, okay, are you saying creating content?
Yeah, the creative and then the shooting and then the editing and then the posting. So like, how much of that?
It all divvies up then. So if I'm doing something professional, so that involves like more time and people and cars and locations and stuff, you know, if we haven't been getting great weather lately. So, you know, if last year I was doing a lot more during the summer, this year with the weather, and cars never look good if there's not a nice sunset or sunrise. Right. It's never nice to shoot stuff during the day, and because you get that like
flat
lighting and it's not great. So that's been tough. But generally, everything going well. 1 to 2 times a month, I'll do something professional. Every day I post on TikTok. Every day I post on Instagram. I don't really have anything to a T. I just post and I look for opportunities every day. There's always an opportunity. Somebody will ring me and say, oh, my son is going to this. Is there any chance he can collect me? And I go, opportunity for a video. Do you know what I mean? And
so yeah, you're switched on. Yeah, you're thinking about it all the time.
All the time. It's my, you know, it's my time. Could take me 3 hours to drive down to meet them and come back. But that will translate to a video, which could translate to one call, one sale. And it's worth it for me.
So you draw the straight line.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think that's the secret sauce where a lot of people aren't. They're not drawing the straight line, or they think social is kind of like a nice to do.
Yeah.
Oh, we should be online as if like some mysterious. Yeah.
Or I should hire somebody to do it.
Yeah.
Like I see a lot of garages now, which is amazing to see, because I'm seeing so many women now pop on the socials for garages, which is great because I never saw that years ago. So that's brilliant. And I'm seeing every garage go on, I'm looking for a content maker.
I'm looking for a Nadia.
I don't know.
Must post on TikTok.
Nadia ain't cheap anymore.
113,000
Instagram, which is very good for a business.
Oh, it's huge for
it
Insta.
Is for a business, like, because Instagram is the graft, but that's where you get the money, so it's worth it. And then TikTok, you can be lucky with one video. But actually lately TikTok has gotten really tough. The algo's changed.
It has, isn't it?
The algorithm has changed, and you just have to like try loads of different things. I've actually curtailed my sexiness on TikTok and I've gone for a different strategy because it wasn't working anymore. So I was like, right, that's not working. I have to try something else. And more so Instagram.
I've curtailed I've done that too. I've cut way back on my sexiness.
Yeah, you cut way back.
I've buttoned up a lot.
You're buttoned up, I'm buttoned down. But whatever works, right? So yeah, so the TikTok, I'm changing a lot. So I've upped my levels now on TikTok. Now I'm actually doing live deals on TikTok where I'm ringing customers and buying and selling a car, ringing other dealers. So I'm just constantly on the next thing, leveling up. I don't go, oh, I did that, I'm going to talk about it for a week to everybody. No,
it never stays the same, doesn't
it? Like,
I post my figures every month on LinkedIn, and it's how I get most of my sponsor deals. I post exactly what I'm doing every month, and they're like, they'll swing wildly. So like, it might be Instagram this month, then it might be TikTok, then it might be Instagram. And like, there'll be millions in the swing. It's wild.
It's crazy.
But it shows you can never stop, never be still.
You can never stop. And sometimes I'm surprised by Facebook. Facebook has been one I've been putting a bit of time into the last while.
Like people are starting to say that to me again. Yeah,
people forget about Facebook because I didn't put any attention. So YouTube, I've really tried and it's so hard. I think if you didn't get into YouTube 10 years ago, best of luck.
It's really hard.
It's really tough. I have a couple of thousand and it's so tough. Then TikTok is great. And TikTok, I have 203,000 followers. And I just got my blue tick as well, which is great because I was getting a lot of fake profiles.
Oh, really?
Like people trying to scam people. So now I have my blue tick so people know it's me.
Do TikTok give you that? Or
they kind of get in touch with you and stuff like that. Like it's a hard enough process.
Really?
Yeah.
You have to be like,
yeah, you've got to be like, you know,
legit.
Get your boobs out.
Blue tick's gonna lose you for another while. So like, that's really interesting because I was dying to chat social strategy with you because like there's so much to it. So talk to me about the other side of it then, right? Because I've seen you like really clap back at the trolls and the haters. Most people ignore it. I ignore it.
Are you 50-50?
No, I'm completely
just ignore it.
Complete ignore.
Yeah.
How do you deal with that? How do you think about it, I suppose?
Yeah. Question. Again, think outside the box. So I'll always come back to like, think outside the box. And take a step back and think about it and think about what way it can go. A, B and C. Like there's always more than one way to skin a cat. And the easiest thing in the world to do is block, delete. And everyone does that. And if it's a complete troll and they're saying absolutely something totally left field that you can't even like come back to, that's fine. But if it's a real account and they say something, I would always respond. Never block, never delete. Because one, it kind of hinders your algorithm as well. And if you have a bit of controversy going on in your comments and you have people clapping back and people talking or whatever, that really boosts your profile. But it also shows people how you respond and how you deal with things. And I think we're living in a world now, like, I follow so many great businesses on TikTok that make me laugh because they give me an insight to, say, like a builder, you know, doing his day-to-day stuff, and it just gives you an insight.
I love those accounts.
I love those accounts.
There's so many of them.
Because, you know, we didn't know, like, you know, me doing a deal on the phone, people love seeing the ins and outs of it and how it actually works.
Especially normal stuff.
Yeah, just normal stuff.
Everyday people building business. Yeah. I am a sucker for that. I will watch that all day
and
long.
If that's what you're into, like interior or building, then you'll go for that stuff. If you're into cars, you follow me because I'm showing you lots of different aspects of the car industry. So yeah, I just think definitely respond, don't ignore, and it's the way you do it. Don't be aggressive, like, you know, don't. I'm very calculated to how I answer my call outs, but I love them because they give me an opportunity to go viral again and again and again and again.
Okay, so you're getting multiple bites of the cherry. They're just feeding you ideas.
Absolutely, absolutely.
Did it ever get to you?
No, it did at the beginning. I'm like, what is it, Teflon? Caviar, what is it? Kevlar?
Teflon, yeah.
Yeah, Teflon. Oh, I'm like Teflon now. There's nothing you could say
just
to me.
Just bounce
now.
Straight off.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, you have to be like that though. It's not for everyone. And I always say whenever I do a video with someone as well, like, look, we monitor the comments, of course, especially with other people in our videos, because you have to be mindful of people's mental health and how they'll take comments and stuff like that.
Because it's wild.
It's TikTok's wild.
It is wild. Yeah. And then user 7777, you're a prick. You're like, oh. Insightful.
I know.
Thanks.
I know. DJ Big Balls hashtag. Yeah, I know.
But it's always user 77777. Yeah. Like, I'll see patterns of like people create accounts to comment on the videos.
I think they're like strategically placed trolls for like.
I've started
something.
To think that. I've started. Here's my tinfoil hat. You love conspiracies.
I love conspiracy theories.
I think they're like troll farms. Yeah. I think it's whether it's TikTok or someone else. Yeah. I think they're troll farms just like commenting because like some of the comments and the engagements are off the charts and you're kind of going, who would be arsed?
Yeah. No, definitely. It's especially if there's like an agenda or something that wants to be pushed or whatever. And I always say, look, never believe what you see. You know, there's always something else going on. You know, we're kind of programmed to live in a world where there's rules and regulations and we live in this box, even though we don't like saying it out loud. We do. And just always question what you're being told, you know.
I think after COVID as well, I think that's good advice. Some people have gone too far the other way.
Yeah.
They don't believe anything.
I know.
But, you know, I think, you know, be a rational optimist.
Yeah.
Just kind of go, just think about it. We chat about it over coffee.
Yeah.
Everyone wants it to be black and white.
Yeah.
Everyone wants it to be, you're either this or that. The world ain't that.
Totally.
The world's gray. Yeah. The world is this table. The world is gray. It's all like two things. I always think of this phrase, two things can be true at the same time.
Yeah. Totally. And I think with me, that's why I have a competitive advantage, because initially when you saw my videos, it's like you can't be sexy or like have, you know, be glam, basically. You can't be glam and then have brains. You can't do both. If you're glam, you're in a box and that's all you are and that's who you are. Or if you've brains, you're this type of person, but you can't be both. And then put those two into a male dominated industry, which is cars. It's like, you know, and showing people actually this is a career for other women. You don't have to like do this, do that. You could be both.
I always ask what your formula for success is, because we do experiments, right? And experiments lead to formula. Do you think that's it? Do you think it's the brains, the beauty and an unusual industry?
Absolutely. Yeah, that could definitely be a formula. But you also have to like, you can't just, as I say, you can't just be sexy and sex sells and have a good business long term. You know, it really doesn't happen like that. Like, you have to have a really good business and you have to look after people. Like, you know, you have to treat people and the way you would want to be treated, even though that's not the way the world is.
It's funny, isn't it? Like customer service.
That's a huge
really
thing for
has
me.
Gone down so much. And then when you get it, you're so happy.
Oh, people are delighted on the way. Yeah, they are. Even for just like a half an hour chat and a hug, like, you know.
But not even that. Just basic human decency. Yeah. Like the Burnaby and Greystones, we go to that restaurant all the time because they're just good people. They treat you well. They're like, oh, do you guys need anything else? Do you want more gravy for the baby? Or do you want
just little things.
Little things.
I know. But you see, everything has gone so about cost as well. That like, you know.
It costs nothing to be nice, though. Yeah. It costs nothing to be human and to treat other people like you want to be treated. I think too many people, we talked about this as well earlier, but people are angry, a bit on edge, and they just like throw you down your coffee or whatever. And I was like, I literally happened. There was a local place set up a coffee shop. And your man just like, literally, give me, I was getting a coffee. And he just, he was talking to the person on the till. And he just slid it across to me like that without even looking at me. And I was like, I'm never going back there.
Yeah.
And I never have. And they're a local place.
And that's
I was like,
a customer loss. Like,
forever.
Yeah.
And it, forever. Yeah, and I will never go back there. And I was like, because there's a great place, the Wicklow Wolf up beside me. I go there every morning now.
Yeah.
Because they're great crack.
Yeah.
You that's go in, you're like, want. Oh, what's happening? Yeah. Blah, blah. Cat in there. She's an ex-barmaid and she is the best crack.
Yeah.
And you'll have a bit of banter. Human.
Yeah.
Like we're all
and that's
humans.
All you want. You just want someone you can have the crack with. And yeah. I think that's what a lot of people get from Ashford Motors is the crack. And they love it. They come out and they have the laugh, they have the banter, they get a nice car. They're happy if something goes wrong. You know, a percentage of cars, there always might be a problem with the secondhand cars. They get looked after, good aftercare customer service. Yeah. Then they're happy. That's it. It doesn't take much. It doesn't take much to actually make customers happy.
It's wild, isn't it though? Like common sense ain't that common. Like, and it's strange. It really is strange as people look down to cost going, oh, cut everything.
That's the thing, yeah. And I think as well, what we were saying, COVID then as well, you have the younger kind of generation that were like not used to being out with people. Like me growing up, we were probably used to like, you know, respect the elders and you're outside all day and, you know, you'd have to do all the like crap stuff. Whereas
just
now,
doing a bit of graft.
Yeah.
Just, I remember my first job when I was 15, phone shop. And I loved it.
Yeah.
Because we'd be chatting to people all day, you'd be selling phones and you'd be having the crack.
Just having the phone.
It taught me more about life than most things, to be fair.
Exactly. And now with the pandemic, people were stuck on the computer, the heads in the computer and even kids. I see young kids now and then the phone. And look, that's my job. I'm in the phone all the time. It's different. I can take myself out of that as well, you know?
Yeah. And look, people always go, oh, the young generation. I was like, bollocks. That's the same every time. Like,
it's the same
scorn,
every young generation.
You always like, oh, it wasn't like that in our day. It was different. It was something else. But like, you can't help but kind of feel sorry for them. Like they've had 2 years of their life gone.
Just gone.
So you're 17, say, when the pandemic starts, so you do your leaving online, mm-hmm. you miss all the leavings for holidays,
the crack.
You miss college, you don't go to college.
I know.
So you're sitting at home, you're doing your lectures in your bedroom.
Everything on your own. It's not the same.
How could it not affect you?
Yeah.
So I think people are very cynical. People are always going, it's not the same. Yeah. You're like, of course it's not the same.
Yeah.
But it'll level out. We talked earlier about everything goes in cycles.
Yeah.
Everything's cyclical.
Yeah.
We always think, oh, this is different.
Yeah.
No, it's not.
It's not.
Everything's happened before.
Yeah.
It's just about being able to be calm and just keep motoring. No pun intended. but I love your attitude there. Like, I always think of, you can take what you do seriously, but don't take yourself seriously.
Yeah.
Don't be so uptight that you're like,
no, not at all.
We're not a brain surgeon.
Yeah.
We're not, you know,
like,
thank God.
I'm a secondhand car dealer. I've no ego. People know, like, you know what I mean? I take the piss out of myself every single day. And I think if you remove your ego from it, people lose deals with having big egos. Like, oh, my customer, you can't go to that person. Where I'd be like, yeah, great, go to whoever you want. Do you know what I mean? Like, if you don't be so greedy and you want everything for yourself and you've your big ego.
You have to lose, I have to win. That's zero sum.
I'm like, let's
Nadia has to lose for Gary to win.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. I'm like, how can we like collaborate? How can I work off you? Yeah. How can you work off me? You know,
but that's how I always recognize a great founder or a great business person, when they're open.
Yeah.
They're all curious.
Yeah.
They're asking me questions. Going, how does this pod work?
Yeah.
How does this, where do you find people? Da, 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 da. Yeah. Like,
yeah. They're not coming up against you. Like,
they're not going to go all skeptical, going, oh, pods, they're never going to work, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
And
absolutely.
It's a sure sign when someone is cynical straight off the bat. I'm like,
I don't need
to invest any time in you.
No.
This
you want to be a
positive
person. You have to, and look, of course, don't get me wrong, we all have our negative days and you just want to throw the blanket over your head. But in general, you have to be able to get yourself out of that very quickly, I think, as a business person, don't you?
Yeah. 4 years.
Yeah.
That's serious growth.
Yeah, it is.
Like,
yeah.
That's whopper growth in 4 years. Like, most businesses barely survive for the first two.
Yeah.
Like, you've really kind of like accelerated it on.
Yeah.
What other factors have played a part in that? So social has been huge. So what else, either within social realm where you're like, oh, that was a game changer, that really moved me on?
Yeah, taking risks, buying in like crazy big cars that like I never thought I'd sell, and then I do, and then you get a trade in.
Do you think
sell that?
That'll be good content.
I bought a Lamborghini in my second year of business, and I was so broke after it. That car gave me serious anxiety, but I got amazing marketing out of it. And I knew having that car would be one or two things. I'd sell it and actually make money, but like, no one sells a Lamborghini in Ireland. It's so hard.
Really?
Our market here is totally different to the UK because of Brexit and VRT. So for example, like, a VRT, which is changing the plate for UK car into Irish car, on a Lamborghini will cost you about 100 grand or 115 grand.
Just to bring it in.
Just to bring it in. So you have to be on an extra 100,000 than your man in London to have the same car. So that's how even small, again, the market is in Ireland. And just, we just don't have the same market. So even selling like a Porsche, or like I sold a 2023 X5M a few days ago, it's a 200 grand SUV, performance SUV. Even selling something like that is huge. I sold an RH yesterday. So anyway, back to this Lamborghini, it stressed me out so much. Eventually, though, the marketing I got out of it, it actually got me other business from other customers that were like, look, will you sell my car?
Oh.
Do you know what I mean?
Oh, cool. So yeah, I get it now.
It was a little bit of fake it till you make it. And it was also putting the, let me say this right, the cart in front of the horse. Yeah, good. Because I'm not very good with
saying. Sounds right to me, yeah.
So that's it, yeah. I almost grew too big for my boots and then I had to fill it. That's kind of what happened. I made this amazing big platform and I was selling some stressful months like every business does, and trying to get credit, and they wouldn't look at you because you're starting out. You have to build it. You have to show some financial accounts for a couple of years. And I was showing a healthy profit every year. And then last year was my best year, and then bought the new premises, which meant I had to pay my tax bill in like a week because they used last year's accounts. Then was all of a sudden the banks were ringing me, throwing money at me.
Really?
For capital. Yeah. So I'm able now to double my sales from this year to next year because the banks have given me money. I can get away
from... So you've broken that threshold of like having to like...
Exactly. Yeah, like just
sell to buy.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
And getting away from the high street lenders and getting like a great rate and everything, you know, really can be done well and turn over and make loads of money and sell loads of good cars. It's really tough. So at the beginning, I really like put the cart before the horse, and then I had to just fill those boots.
I like that strategy though. I like that kind of strategy of like,
it's not the other way around.
How do we, because you've done both, right? Yeah. You've bootstrapped and grafted, but there does become a point in every business whereby you kind of have to overstretch in a healthy way. You can't overstretch and leave yourself broke.
Have to take a risk.
But there's a point whereby, now it's grow or no grow. Yeah. Now it's go big or don't go big at all.
Now
it's
you take the risk.
Because there's a tipping point. Oh, there's a tipping point in every business whereby grow. And then there's a moment whereby you either go up like that or you slowly start to decline.
100%. 100%. And that is taking the risk, whether that's like buying that crazy car. So that's what I did. I bought like a big car. And like to sell a big car, you need an amazing reputation and brand behind you. And I didn't necessarily have that because I was only going for like 2 years or whatever. Eventually that sold, and it sold through social media.
Really? And then the Lamborghini sold through
social? No, sorry. The Lambo didn't sell in the end. I had to just get rid of that. But I did okay out of the long run.
You flipped it back in the trade,
is
it?
Pretty much.
Is that what happens if you don't sell it?
You flip it back in the trade. Gotcha. You do okay out of it. And in the long run, I got different cars and I did fine in the long run. But what that did allowed me to do here was create an amazing platform, an amazing audience. And then after a couple of years and of doing that and growing, I started doing a bit of consignment. So consignment is basically like you're an estate agent. You sell the car on someone's behalf. And sometimes these cars are so rare. And a lot of garages do it in Dublin and Ireland, but they don't talk about it because it's kind of like, oh, shunned upon. Oh, I consign cars. Like these cars could be 200 grand.
Like, so you take a percentage.
Like a fee. You don't see an estate agent buying a house. Yeah. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I know what you mean.
And because I built such an amazing platform, and because my business is good and I have good customer service, and I'd always like at the beginning, you sell yourself short at the beginning to get them really good money. Mm. So then they come to you. You know what I mean? And then obviously as time goes by, you start to go, no, actually, I need a bit more out of that because that was really a stressful deal. I had to buy out a trade in and there was nothing in that in the end. And then you end up kind of getting to a figure that you know works.
Yeah. Well, you have to try. I mean? Look, that's why I call it the entrepreneur experiment, because you have to keep tweaking. If you just go, no, this is the formula, I'm not deviating from that, you'll go broke because you don't know what's going to work.
You don't know what's going to work.
You can't learn.
You don't know what that number is. So you just do a few and then it's great. So the consignment, which is a part of the business now, is an amazing part of the business because it's like a revenue stream that has no risk on my behalf.
No overhead, like, apart from no your marketing channels. Yeah.
Just me and, you know, prepping the car. And sometimes, and they're so fresh that they don't really come back under warranty. So at the beginning, I was taking maybe a few older cars and then getting bit in the ass. And now I'm like, okay, now I know what to do.
But, okay, because you sell it out as a 12-month warranty.
Yeah,
or
you give
like
warranty
okay,
with the cars right. and stuff, yeah. So, like, that's an amazing part of the business now. And people will only consign with me because they know I they have my platform. And it's the best platform in the country.
Mm.
Yeah.
That's powerful, isn't it?
Yeah, it's great. And that only came about because I put the horse after the cart or the cart after the
cart for the horse. Intentionally, yeah. We'll maybe kill that analogy just because we're both wrong.
Yeah.
We'll
let it out. Yeah.
I think that you've touched on something there, and you can touch on why I do this podcast.
Yeah.
Because people are like, oh, podcast, huh? Do you make money from that? I'm like, yeah, I do. Because attention is the new marketing.
Yeah.
This is the new marketing.
Yeah.
People still think, oh, we'll do traditional marketing. Yeah. We'll do print and we'll do this and we'll do that. And you're like, or you could build your own platform and not be beholden to Google, Facebook, Meta. Yeah. Like how many times have we heard that? I've heard this so many times from entrepreneurs. Oh, we built big on Meta and then they changed the algorithm and we went from 100 grand a month to 5 grand a month.
Oh my God.
And then you're goosed.
You're goosed.
No, your business
is sunk. You need to make it like definitely flexible.
Well, my previous business was on one platform. It was on Airbnb. Mm. And I always knew it was a business of a time.
Mm.
And then COVID happened. Like, and obviously everything sunk. But I always knew that. Yeah. But I knew the next business I would build would be platform agnostic. I would have control of everything. Mm. I would have control, and that's the content. Mm. People don't really understand. Mm. It's like a secret. I think we're ahead of the game here. Mm. People don't understand content is the new driver.
It is, yeah.
And people don't know how to do it still.
People are literally on their phones and like...
It's bad.
It's like five seconds. If you don't get them in that 1 second, you've lost them. That's what it's got to now. Yeah. So as much as I love, like I'll always spend money, there'll always be a percentage that I'll spend on professional videos. I think there's still a place for all of that, like, you know, like real professional, like done up videos. And
then you're safe.
You know, yeah, I do. Absolutely. You know, but also like you need to catch people's attention very, very quickly.
Yeah.
And the influencer world now has changed where people on TikTok 2 years ago were just TikTokers and now they're real influencers for brands and stuff like that. And just seeing that change.
I find it interesting, the snobbishness.
Yeah.
I find it funny when people like... Yeah. TikTokers look, or Instagrammers look down on TikTokers, and then
they
traditional
do.
Media look down on us. And you're kind of on
Instagram.
It's all the same, guys.
It's all the same stuff.
It's all
Instagrammers
attention.
Are very different to TikTokers because I think what TikTokers got big because of viral, because of authentic, like really, like not because they looked great and everything was perfect and into these little boxes, but because they were so authentic. You know, love a great example is Garen. I absolutely love Garen.
He's huge now.
He's
oh my God,
huge.
He is blown up.
And he's just, he is who he is. Like, he's exactly who he is on social media in person.
But it's a bit like you said.
Yeah.
He's not just an online personality. He's very talented.
Yeah.
I didn't realize that until I watched his
videos.
So it's like, I saw him actually with you. I think that's how I discovered him. Mm. And you did a kind of like a skit video. And then I clicked in. I was like, oh my God.
And he's an amazing singer.
His voice.
And he's so funny. And he's just this big like giant. Like, he's so tall as well. Like,
but it's what you said earlier. It's like, there's no point being cool online or being sexy online if there's nothing else there.
Yeah.
And I think that's what happens to a lot of people is that they kind of blow up.
Yeah.
It's good and bad, as in like they get their 15 seconds of fame.
How do you keep it?
Blows up, but then there's nothing there behind it. Yeah. It's the people who can have longevity behind it going, this is a strategy.
They got their break almost, like they had something and then they got the break online.
Well, they were building on top of something. Yeah. I think a lot of people, if they go viral kind of quickly with something, it's almost like the kiss of death.
Yeah.
Because then it's like the hawk to a girl
yeah.
and stuff like that.
What is she? I know. I was looking at her. I'm like, what does she do now? She's just doing everything.
She's just famous now.
She's just famous.
For being famous.
Yeah.
But you know there's going to be a bang.
Yeah.
And because unless she transitions very quickly
into something
either she gets a TV show or there's something. There has to be a revenue behind it that's not beyond like someone paying you to come on their show or paying you to smile. Oh, can you do a shout out for this?
Stops eventually.
Of course it does. Well, there's going to be a new hawk to a girl next week or there'll be some like, what baffles me is how fast things go on TikTok.
Yeah.
Like the virality is bananas.
I know. It's great. Like even the EV thing to touch back on that. And it's like, just that was just like that. Like I got contact from the UK, even news outlets from the UK, Northern Ireland, like everywhere. I was on every mainstream media about it. I couldn't believe it. It was like the one thing that everybody was talking about and it was happening. And because I had the right platform to say something about it, everyone, the penny dropped and it was just like, bang.
So the merch, right?
Yeah.
Speaking of revenue, right?
Yes.
This, I got such a giggle out of this last year when I saw you do this. I was like, oh,
did you buy one?
I didn't buy one.
Ah, for God's sake.
I might get a gift.
And you're a local.
I know.
God.
I don't think Michelle would be delighted. She comes out to my home gym and then there's a calendar and Nadia.
The amount of women that bought them for the brothers. Really? One girl bought it for her granddad, who was like 86, and he's a huge fan. And I did a video and everything to him.
Ah, that's brilliant.
It was Christmas Day and he got the calendar and he was so happy. And they sent me, the granddaughter sent me the video. And oh, it was just...
Explain it though. You did, because a few people messaged me. They're like, that's genius. A mate of mine's a mechanic and he's like, that's genius because she understands the motor trick.
Yeah, you understand.
Like the old school, the flashback, the old school calendars.
Yeah. And that's kind of part of my marketing as well, because I think we've gone so one way, and there's nothing wrong with a bit of like going that way, but we've gone so one way that people kind of still miss the old way. So like when you think back of like girls being slapped on the car bonnet for Porsche ad, every big car brand has done videos back in the day, or 10 years, 20 years ago, of girls in bikinis, whatever. That's like, that was a norm. That's kind of stopped now.
Well, call it what it is, right? The world has gone woke.
Yeah.
The world's very completely woke.
Yeah. Yeah. It's gone too kind of that way. So I've come out and I'm doing it. I'm bringing it back a little bit, but I'm doing it for me. No man is paying me to do it and make
that's the power.
And that's the power.
That's the power.
And that's the power.
And it's funny people miss that subtlety.
Yeah.
People come, it just whoosh. Yeah, it just goes straight over their head. And I'm like, oh,
you're playing them like a fiddle. You watch and think outside the box.
But it's so funny to watch you just play it like a fiddle. You just like puppet master behind going, they don't realize.
I'm like, there's me again. I don't know if you saw the one I did yesterday of me in the Porsche. I got inspired from an old Porsche ad of a girl running and she sees a Porsche and she just flashes it. And I don't know, I put up yesterday and... And I did it so quick, but everybody's pause game is amazing. Everyone was sending me all screenshots and I was like, oh, damn it. Like, I did it so quick.
Oh, no. Oh, you've no. You caught me. I know what you're doing.
But yeah, no. And also, like, you know, it's very simple. Like the motor trade, when you sell cars, like 80% of my customers or even 90% of my customers are men. Like if I had to depend on women to make money, I'd be broke. I love my women customers and I have loads of them. And they're growing, and especially now women are growing, like having no husbands, they're buying their own houses, they're CEOs. I've loads of CEOs and business owners that don't, or maybe husbands that have passed away, they come to me specifically to get them their cars because they feel like they can talk to me on the same level as a woman to a woman. Yeah. I'm not going to like hoodwink them or like, tech this, tech that, speak to them in a language they don't know. Mm. So I have that, but the truth is men are my sales because that's who buys cars. It's like the beauty industry. Yeah. Like, you know, a tanning brand can't really depend on men. Mm-hmm. So they target women and they do bikini pics. Why, if they can do it, why can't I do it?
That's the funny thing, isn't
it? That's where I'm going, hang on a second. That's double standards to me.
It is completely. Yeah. And the people just can't understand like context and nuance. Yeah. Like, oh no, don't do that. Yeah. You're like, why?
You're bringing women back 25 years. Oh, am I? Like, do you know what I mean? You know, so I suppose, look, in a way, it's great to have all of that because I can play off that to get views and stuff like that. And people always ask me, oh, what's it like being a woman? It must be so tough. No, it's not. If I wasn't a woman, I wouldn't have a competitive advantage. I love it. I think it's great because everybody knows me because I'm a woman and because I'm Nadia, you know?
Do you enjoy that part or does it ever kind of go, oh?
I love it. I do. Yeah. And yeah, no, genuinely I do. I like, there's never been a day that someone hasn't come up to just see me or see me on the road, wave at me. Like, and I get it everywhere, even like in the airports. I got recognized in Kenya from an Uber driver.
No.
Yeah. Yeah. He's like, I just saw your TikTok. Or like,
that's wild.
It's crazy.
It?
Yeah. Like in Lanzarote, when I go, I get recognized everywhere. And
that is kind of cool.
It is cool. Like, it's cool. I love it. I'm like, oh, how are you? Cause I still can't believe they're talking about me because I'm just having the crack, like, you know.
It comes back to not taking yourself seriously. Yeah. I always find it funny when people like get like, I'm going to use inverted commas, famous.
Yeah.
And then they're like, oh, it's so hard. Oh,
it's so hard.
Oh, you know, and you're like, oh, come on.
It's not hard.
You've not brought this on yourself because that's the wrong way of putting it. Like, you know, this is what you've worked
this
for.
This is part of it.
Don't then piss on people just because they're excited to see you because, to you, this is every day. To them, this is once in their lifetime.
So, like, you see people and they're like running up to you. Oh my God, can I get a picture with you in a car? And you're like, yeah, of course you can. Yeah. Like, absolutely. I'd love to. And like, of course, I'm not always, you know, I'm an extrovert, but I'm also an introvert. But I get that time. I'm a night owl. I don't get up early. I'm late to everything. And I do all my kind of at night time.
Okay.
When the world has stopped.
You recharge.
I recharge. Go back. Go online. Do my ads. Do what I need to do.
That's how you recharge?
Yeah. Like,
you really are working nonstop.
Yeah, that's what I do. And that's how I recharge. And then I'm ready for the next day to talk to people. Because I talk, that's my job. I sell cars. So constantly, like, you know,
addicted to the business? On.
Yeah, very much so. Yeah. I just feel like I'm onto something here. Right. And I really believe in myself. And I don't back losing horses.
I love that.
Yeah.
I love people who are passionate about what they do.
Yeah.
Too often you see people going through the motions.
Yeah.
You're like, life's too short.
Now, look, a bit of that is hindsight as well. Like, if you asked me 2 years ago, I'd be like, oh, I'm falling apart.
Right.
And you have to get through that period. And then things go wrong, then things go right. Mm. Then one thing, and then you go.
Tell me about it. Yeah.
You're like, fuck, I actually sold that car. Or I actually sold that car. I can't believe I did it. And then people believe in you and give you a bigger car to sell. And, you know, you know, you get things right. You do what you said you were going to do for a customer and you keep your word. And that goes around. It doesn't matter about how big I get on social media. If I do a good deal with one customer, he'll tell 10 people and that's they it. Ring me and they might never have seen me on social media. And they're like, you sold a car. You got him what you agreed.
Mm.
Take my car.
Yeah.
I don't even want to meet you. They've left keys out for me. I just go collect it.
But that's how I get most of these guests. That's how I get most of the guests on the pod. You asked me earlier, is it hard to get guests? I'm like, it's not really now because I've got to a smaller extent like you. I've got a good name and people can find me very easily.
Yeah.
And it's generally Nadia. Nadia said, Gary Sound.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah.
I'll go on. Of course I will.
Exactly.
Because Nadia enjoyed it, hopefully. Yeah. And then you go, deadly. And but like word of mouth is, and I say this to people all the time, it's everything, but everyone overlooks it.
Yeah.
Everyone's like, oh, what'll I do on TikTok? What'll I do in print? What'll I do ads? What'll I do this? What'll my tagline be? I'm like, relax.
Yeah.
How do you treat people?
Yeah.
If you start with there, the rest will follow.
I'm telling you, it's
live it the whole way through.
It's the little details every day. Mm. It really is. And I can't. And again, because I'm on a bit of a platform, I have to always like now be very like dot my I's, cross my T's, be very careful sometimes. And
do you worry about that?
I do and I don't because I know my true intentions.
Mm.
I know where my heart is. So if I say something, I slip up. If I piss someone off, I always make amends. If I'm in the wrong, I'll always put my hand up.
Right.
I've no ego that way. Mm. Like I'll always go, oh, fucked up there. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like I did that. So I think if your intentions are there, then I'm not worried. But yeah, of course you have to like have some sort of like safety margin, I suppose, and there'll always be a margin of error in any business.
Of course, yeah.
And as you get bigger and as I'm getting more staff now, I'm transforming to a different side of the business, which I'm growing. So for example, like this year I've gotten loads of brand deals. I did a brand collaboration with Sony Ireland
for
the Bad Boys video, supplied cars for them for that.
No way.
I did a brand partnership with Oosh, which is a huge competition business.
That was clever.
And it was an amazing brand partnership.
I saw that. That was real clever. Yeah.
And that's going forward, you know, that's brilliant. And then Circle K, and I've loads of stuff in the pipeline that I can't really talk about right now, but this is a different type of business that I never would have envisioned was going this way when I started 4 years ago.
Mm, but it's another revenue stream as well, isn't it? Like that's the future of business is having multiple revenue streams coming in. Because if you haven't learned from the pandemic,
things can change like that.
If you haven't learned that lesson by now, you're not long for business because the world is transforming and at a real faster rate because shit happens.
Mm-hmm.
Shit happens all the time. Mm-hmm. Things we never thought would happen. So like if you're not like building out in different areas and like what you're doing and like what I'm trying to do is building your own platform.
Yeah.
You're not relying on someone else to push you forward. You're not going to go, will I do some radio ads? No, you own the radio station now.
Yeah.
And then talk to me about kind of like the master plan. So Nadia's master plan, because like 4 years you've exploded.
Yeah.
What do you think the next four looks like?
People ask, would I ever sell the brand, sell Asher Motors? Because the way the world's going, main dealers are going to go online. Well, this is what they want to do. They want to go pure online by 2026. So there'll be no main dealers. It'll just be, say, Volkswagen are the first brand to do it. They're going to sell directly to the customer. If you're buying a brand new car.
So like a Tesla model, you go onto the website, yeah. Oh, I want a Golf.
You pick what you want, you order, drop to your house.
Wow.
Or you might just go collect the keys. But there's no that go in for a test drive, chat through, and even trade-in values will be done online. I don't know how
it's all. That seems wild.
I don't know how. Google it. It's all there. I did a video on it a few months ago. I don't know how it's all going to turn out, but it's just, but that's only going to make independents like myself like more sought after.
So your brand is going to get more valuable.
Yeah. And also now I've bought the new premises, double the sales, I've got the banks behind me, great, finally. And I'm just, and like I'm up already, like last year, I think I'm up 50% already this year in sales alone. Wow. Like I've just had an amazing year, but that was really struggling for a few years. So it just feels like, oh, everything's paying off. Thank God. I'm hoping, touch wood, you know, which just continues.
You're backing
like
yourself
that.
As well. You're backing yourself for new business.
I think I have more confidence now because, you know, you're kind of like, oh my God, am I doing this right? Yeah. Like some days I was like, what am I doing? Am I actually getting this right?
I think it's important. It's great to hear that as well. And thanks for being so honest, because I think a lot of people follow you online. They'd be like, oh, Nadia's just got to figure it out.
Yeah.
You know, Nadia knows what's going on. Yeah. Whereas when I get to meet all these people, like you kind of figure out, everyone's just figuring out as they go.
Everybody's figuring out.
I don't think I've ever met a founder. I've done nearly 400 episodes now. Yeah. I don't think I've met a founder. I'm like, oh, they know everything.
Yeah.
No, we're all figuring out as we go.
And that'll be their Achilles heel if you think you know everything.
That's the danger. I literally had someone said that to me this morning. They're like, oh, the people who really avoid are the people who pretend they know everything. Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah.
But they get caught out real quick. Yeah. I think that's the difference. Yeah.
So the master plan. So like a lot of people have asked me, would I sell the brand? I don't think I'd sell it anytime soon, but who knows in 10, 20 years, or expand it as a franchise. Because the way I built Ashford was to build it as an amazing brand, an amazing platform, great customer service. You have all the platform, you've got the premises, you have the brand, everyone knows you in the country. And it's called Ashford Motors. It's not called Nadia. And a lot of garages are called after the name of the person who owns it. Again,
it's a bad strategy, I think. Yeah. That's why I called it the Entrepreneur Experiment. Yeah. Didn't call it the Gary Fox Podcast because has to stop. If I'm ever, God forbid, if you got sick or something and you're like, oh, I can't, you know, the pod has to live beyond yourself.
Absolutely.
And what's coming up the rest of the year? Kind of bringing the master plan back to the rest of the year, like you have some exciting stuff in the pipeline. So the new premises.
Yeah.
What's the crack there?
So new premises, it's just off the motorway, building it up at the moment. It's a big yard, just under an acre. It also comes with a cottage.
It's gorgeous.
Yeah, it's a real hens' tooth. I'm surprised no one else bought it, to be honest with you. But it's off the motorway. And so we're doing it up really plushly, really stately. Big gates, big wooden gates, lights everywhere. Beautiful brick, red brick. It's just going to be fabulous. Nice. Lovely showroom. Glass can be seen from the motorway. 25 minutes to Dublin. Mm. It's really easily off and off the motorway. You know, it's a really great location. So hopefully being there in the next 6 to 8 weeks, I'll have a big open day and stuff like that.
We'll be down.
Absolutely invited. And then obviously I'm going to build like a bit of a media hub there as well. It won't just be like car sales, but I want to maybe have a podcast one day. Who knows? I don't know. I don't know if I'd be good at it.
That's the future.
That's the future. I'll build something there.
I keep saying this to people. Yeah. People reach out to me all the time going, oh, I'm going to build a podcast studio. Can I get your advice? I'm like, don't.
No, just
build a media studio.
Yeah.
Build a room
something.
Where you can create content.
Create stuff, I don't know if it's going to be a podcast. I don't like.
But have a room that's multifunctional, almost like a movie set.
Yeah.
Have like this thing, and people are like, oh, yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah.
No one's done it.
Yeah.
And I keep saying to people all the time, and I'm like, don't build a podcast studio.
Advice falls on deaf ears sometimes.
It
and you
drains
know what?
Me.
You drain yourself doing.
But now I charge people a consultancy fee.
Well, there
I'm like,
you go.
I do consultancy on a Friday.
Yeah.
Book in there,
there
and
go.
Then if they execute they don't
yeah.
they do
yeah.
if they don't
but
they don't
your value time see what happens as well like yourself is your time becomes money after a while because
all we have
experience you've built the experience. I always remember one day years ago I went into a mechanic and he did a little job for me. I think it was like a 10-minute job and I was like, how much is that? And he was like 30 quid or something. I was like, ah, come on, 30 quid for 10 minutes? And he goes, do you know how many years it took me to learn to do that job in 10 years, Nadia? Do you know the equipment, the software I have to pay every year? And I went, ah, okay, now I understand. Yeah. Doesn't matter. You know, that's, you could have gone to someone who would charge you a tenner and he wouldn't fix the problem for you.
Yeah.
So that's a huge thing. Like people have to understand is that like your time and experience, everything you've learned, like that is worth money.
Mm.
And it is.
And then calendar.
Yeah, the calendar.
When's
yeah.
that coming out?
So I'm starting, like, I'm so bad. I said I'd start shooting 3 months ago. So last year, September, I had a glass of wine. I went on to Instagram and I just randomly said, I'm going to do a calendar. And the next day I woke up and I went, oh my God, why did I do that?
Really?
Then I had to fulfill it.
Yeah. So then sometimes you got to do that though. Sometimes I'll do this in the pod a lot. I'll test out an idea. Yeah. I'll put it out going, yeah. Hey, would anyone like to do this? Yeah. And then if people reply, yeah. I'm like, oh, we'll do it. So.
Yeah. Cause if you kind of plan it, I never plan anything. So if I planned it, it wouldn't have happened.
You get in your head as well.
Yeah.
Like, oh, calendar. I don't know.
So it went a huge success. Like, really? I didn't know if I was going to sell 20 copies or whatever. I sold over 1,000 copies.
Really?
Yeah. And I raised 5,000 euro for Men's Aid, which is my chosen charity.
Class.
So the calendar is, it's really well, it's so tasteful. It's not your like calendar that you would think. And everyone,
describe it for people that don't know what the hell we're talking about.
So basically it's 12 cars, 12 supercars. This year I'm going to do it a little bit differently, but I don't want to give out the goods just yet. But last year it was like, we had a Aston Martin in it. So I did a James Bond theme. You know, we had an R8 in it. We had my two blue M5s I have. And it was all different locations, different scenery. So, like, we had a castle in the back of one.
Serious work in that.
It was literally, I'm telling you now, I was wrecked. I was, for about 6 weeks, I was doing 3 shoots a week and some days traveling to Monaghan to shoot and then back. And then we do 2 shoots in a day at night because it was 12 cars, 12 locations, 12 Nadias, 12 outfits.
12 Nadias.
you know, there's only one Nadia.
There's only one.
There's only one, but I had to, you know, but I did it. And, you know, I'm so thankful to my photographer who was my videographer who changed into my photographer. I was like, do you know how to photography? He's like, I'll give it a go. And he ended up being amazing. And so we did it and it was the best calendar ever. And it's really tasteful. Of course, it's a little bit sexy because it's a calendar. But like, trust me, guys, if I was going to make the quick bucks, I would have, like, the amount of OnlyFans agents have been on to me.
I would imagine.
Like, if that was my end goal, I would have done that. Like, that's not my end goal.
Were you ever tempted?
No. Yes and no. No, maybe at the beginning I was more so curious, but at the moment, no, because I've so much ahead of me in terms of other brand deals and stuff like that. Like, I get reached out every week for different brand deals and I'm very picky what I do.
Okay.
I've never sold myself short from day one. You'll never see a video of me like going, I'm pushing this week, I'm pushing that this week. Never.
There's a lot of crap out there.
I've no issue. A small business reaches out to me and they send me a product. I'll always do a story because I know what it's like and people have helped me up.
Try to find that line though, isn't it?
Yeah, that's fine. But if someone's like, do this, and I'm like, or, and you know, and even, and it's not really even about the money. It is about the money, but also it's not. If I get like a brand value out of it, that brand is going to elevate my brand, I'll do it. So
it's who you work with. I'm very selective.
It's
like,
who
I'm,
you work with.
I was going to say lucky, but I haven't really. Like, I've worked with big brands all the time. Like, you know, we've worked with Sage and Square and Amazon and things like that. And you're like, that's who you have to associate with because if you don't, you'll do any old thing. And people see through that so fast.
And
online, people's bullshit detector is so high.
True. And I'm lucky enough that I'm a business owner. I don't have to depend on like
influencing,
you know, for my income. Like, I'm lucky enough. So that side of things is like I really pick and choose what I do.
And that's a secret sauce as well. I don't think people realize that, that, you know, if people are under pressure to make money
from it, you can't blame them. That is their
job. Kind of do a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
And you're kind of going, I don't really know what you stand for now. Was it, if you stand for nothing, you'll fall for anything.
Yeah. Yeah. And then the other side, you can't blame them because that is their job. It's like, it's like advertising, you know, that is their job.
I know, but they're, you know, you kind of, it's like you said.
Some motoring journalists, like, they get paid by the car brand. One week they're telling you how EVs are great.
I stopped reading reviews.
And you're looking at them going, hang on a second, you're saying EVs are great. Last week you were saying they weren't great. Do you know what I mean?
That's the problem. And that's the problem with, I think, traditional media is that, you know, you touched on it earlier. Like, there's a narrative always behind the thing. There's power behind things. You know, advertisers now have such a huge stranglehold on traditional media because traditional media is struggling.
Yeah.
And the advertisers can dictate what goes in and what doesn't. Like, that's the reality of it. If we don't realize that now, you've been living in the clouds.
Yeah.
So it is important that independent people are an actual independent voice. Yeah. So you kind of go, EBs are shite. I believe this. I don't believe that. And you go, okay, good or bad. At least you know Natty stands for something. Yeah. I just immediately unfollow if someone's like, I don't know. Yeah, a bit of this, a bit of that. And you're like, just pick a fucking side.
Yeah, pick a side.
Pick a side.
Yeah.
Don't be so vanilla that you're like afraid to say something in case you offend somebody.
Yeah, because it's their income, isn't it? At the end of the day, they're afraid they're going to lose a sponsor, lose this or lose that. That's why I love Jeremy Clarkson so much.
Clarkson's Farm.
I loved Clarkson Farm. That got me through relaxing. COVID. Same. Oh, that was amazing. But he's done amazing. You know, he's taken over Pulp now. He's
genius.
Genius. Who knows? Ashford Motors might have something like that down the line. But, you know.
But your brand can translate because it's very clever. There's you and your brand.
Yeah.
So you can go multiple ways with the brand. Yeah. You're not tied in.
Yeah. At the beginning, there was conflict of interest because when I was getting brand deals, I had like motor brands that wanted to push me but not push Ashford because you're kind of pushing your competitor. Do you know what I mean?
It didn't make sense. Ish, but not really.
Then I had to kind of split and kind of go heavily on Nadia versus Ashford Motors because at the end of the day, it was a bit of conflict of interest. Okay. So now people kind of, they can differentiate between the two quite easily, you know.
Before we do our quickfire round.
Oh, yeah.
I always ask, well, always, this is a new thing.
Oh, yeah.
Your formula for...
test it out on me, great.
There you go. Seeing behind the curtain here.
Yeah, exactly.
Your formula for success. Because, right, experiments leads to formulas.
Yeah.
You know, formulas like X plus Y equals Z, right? So what would your kind of couple of core things be to go, that's led to my success for the last couple
of years?
Does that
be four things?
It can be any. It can be one, can be two, can be ten.
Consistency for sure. Taking a risk. Consistency, risk. Keeping your word, I think, is a big thing.
Those three.
Yeah. Hard work. Graft. There's no real, you know. You can't, there's no easy route. There really isn't.
Okay, spoiler alert. Why I'm doing this is that everyone always asks me the same question. What have they all got in common? What have all these elite people?
And I'm like, do they?
They have tons of things and nothing.
Yeah.
There's no one formula.
There's no one formula.
Right? And that's why I want to ask this because I want to have like
you
a whole.
You want to see like a thing, see if you can see a trend or something.
Not even that, but like, you will see trends, but I want everyone to pick their own thing out because people ask me, I'm like, well, I don't know your situation. I don't know what
Everybody's
you want.
Different. Yeah.
Right? And I'm trying to bust that myth. I'm trying to bust this thing of like everyone puts everyone else on pedestals. Oh, Nadia's up there and this guy's up there and she's up there and I'm there and I'll never make that. I'm like, I'm trying to bust all that apart to go, look, everyone has a different way to the top. Take one thing off Nadia, one thing off Ben, one thing off Gary and make your own formula. That's kind of what I'm trying to drive at here. So there is a method to my madness, believe it or not.
Absolutely. And guys, listen, if I can do it or, you know, seem like I'm
Don't give me any false modesty now. We've done so well so far.
Listen, immigrant, mixed race, female, everything's going against me.
Well, you know? It's all going for you. Sure, where you look at it. What book would you recommend people should read?
So I'll be very honest with you. I haven't read a book in the last 4 years because I haven't had any time. But previous to that, I read Obama's first book. I think it was called My Father's Dreams or something like that. And it was a great book. He's a great leader. He was one of the great leaders. I kind of do like Trump as well now. I don't want to get into that because...
You saved the best for last. I'm going to have to ask you a question about that.
I know. I think he's an amazing business person. And I wouldn't mind him getting back in, but like, I think he's just...
That's the clip. Running. It took us 1 hour and 3 minutes, but we've got the clip. Nadia says elect Trump.
Oh, God. Anyway, so back to Obama. Can't I like both? Great book. And he really made me kind of become really comfortable with me being mixed race because he talks about being mixed race growing up in America because he is half black, half white. And, you know, you always feel like you should be more one... or more the other.
Okay.
You know, you don't know where you fit in the world because I am literally half and half. So I think it gives me a lot of empathy for black people, for white people, for everything that everyone's going through because I'm half of half, literally. But he spoke of a story in his book where he was in school one day and he kind of found common ground with his black friends. Mm. So he was with his black friends and he was like hanging out with them, whatever. And a white guy walked by who said, oh, hi. And he kind of miffed him off. And one of his black friends said to him, he was like, don't ever do that. You're half of him and you're half of us. Mm. So don't ever treat the other side less than the other. And that was a great book for me because it really made me kind of realize, you know, get a bit more comfortable with who I am.
Cool. They don't have to be business books. I like when people go, no, this actually made an impact on me. Again, it goes back to formulating. Everyone's unique.
Yeah.
What's something you need to learn the hard way?
Life is not fair. Fair is something you pay in a bus. And just because you treat people a certain way, it doesn't mean they're going to treat you like that. But don't let it stop you from treating people that way, if that makes sense.
What a one-liner. Stealing that one.
Thank you.
What have you sacrificed to achieve your success?
Nights out, nice clothes, holidays, family time, gym time, you know, that type of stuff.
Okay. For now.
Yeah.
What would you do today if I give you 10 million euro?
If I'm very money hungry and I'm in my life right now, I'd probably reinvest in myself, in my business. That's an easy answer for me. But if I was in the latter stage of my life, I would buy an island really, really far away. I'd make sure I was self-sufficient and I'd leave the world behind.
That's a good answer. Laura, whose episode went live today, Laura Bonner, that was her. I don't think that was her answer to this, but she did say that to me. She's like, when I make it, I'm gone.
Yeah.
I'm going ghost, is what she said.
Yeah.
I'm going ghost. It's funny, yeah, the people who kind of like build a lot of social profiles, yeah, you really want to just like, yeah, leave it behind.
Yeah.
What's something in your daily routine you wish you started sooner?
This is going to sound cliche, but definitely the gym, like a healthy physical body, a healthy mind. And now don't get me wrong, I love to pig out, I love my takeaway, but everything in moderation.
Mm. If I give you 1 million euro, you can invest it in one company or one person, not yourself.
Who would that be? I was going to go for myself.
No, easy answer, easy cop out. I always got to caveat that. Who would it be?
I think I'd, and this is going to sound morbid, I'd invest in crematoriums, mortuaries, and or food chains, very well known ones that have gone through the test of time. So like Tesco or Costco or Walmart, because everybody eats and unfortunately we all die.
What an answer. That's brilliant.
Give me on your
crematoriums here, and Tesco. Well, that's what the round is here for. If you just start a new company in the morning, mm-hmm, what would it be?
It's a tough one. Like, I'd love to do something with, like, I'd love to, because I have the African background, I'd love to do something with safaris. And that's always been like a long-term dream of mine. Like start a safari kind of hotel, like glamping experience thing. Class. And market it through my social media and stuff like that.
I could see that, yeah.
So I'd love to do something like that. Or, you know, I love TV productions. I love working as content. So like maybe something like that. Mm. Yeah.
Yeah, either of those things.
I was
going to
say me again, but like, I don't have enough.
What do you believe other people, yeah, would strongly disagree with or find strange?
Definitely think outside the box. I know I've said this so many times. I think, you know, someone I really like look up to and like is Michael O'Leary from Ryanair. And I think he does it perfectly. You know, he is outspoken and he's proved time and time again my business is nowhere near his, but his business is making a huge amount of money and it's always growing over.
Don't sit in the fence now. Don't talk about someone else. Tell me something you believed other people, like the EV thing, yeah, like Trump should be elected. Give me, yeah, one viewpoint you think is a bit outlandish that people disagree with you on consistently.
I think definitely, look, yeah, I just think there is as I always say, we're in this box. We are in a box and there's lots of guidelines and regulations around us and just look beyond that of what's being said to you. So like, yeah, the EVs, Trump, everything that's going on, like look beyond that. Is there a new world order coming? You know, is there something beyond it all? And I'd always like I believe in aliens. Some people will think I'm crazy for
this
that.
This is what I want, Nadia. That's the answer,
yeah,
I want.
You know, and all that type of stuff. Of course there has to be life out there. Like we can't just be the only ones here and stuff like that. And I just think like, look, yeah, that's one side of me and that's another side of me. But definitely like EVs as well, that's another side. We're just not there yet. And yeah.
Lovely. What's the best thing you've spent 100 euros on?
So years ago, I went to a foreign country with a friend of mine and weed was legal there. We bought a bag of weed and we smoked it and we ate loads of exotic food and we had loads of deep, meaningful conversations. And it was probably the best 100 quid I've ever spent.
You're full of surprises. Here's the gift that keeps giving. What's the final piece of advice for every entrepreneur or aspiring entrepreneur listening?
Concentrate on the small details first. Look after people. Keep your word. That's a huge thing. Like even if it means you losing the deal, even if you don't make money, if you've kept your word, but that deal will come back to you in other ways. Take the risk. If you don't take that risk, then when you're very comfortable, that's when you take the risk. You know, when you become comfortable. Because if you don't, not, you won't grow. You'll go the other way. Yeah. And you'll become lazy then. And it'll, that's what will keep your drive going, is always keeping yourself under a little bit of pressure. Not saying go too much pressure, but a little bit uncomfortable, because that's what will keep pushing you and pushing you and pushing you. If you become really comfortable and the money's just coming in every week, you just get lazy.
Slow
and
decline.
All of a sudden the money gets spent and it starts eating away. So keep that hunger. And yeah, think outside the box. You know, where is the rule book? Where is the rule book? There is no rule book. So as long as you know you're a good person, you have a good business, your foundation is good, you can market how you want.
Nadia, that was 1 hour of great crack.
Oh, thank you so much.
Where can people learn more about you and Ashford?
Yeah, so Instagram is a great base for me to communicate with people, because I'm on it all the time. So I usually respond to you quite quickly. Now, I do miss the odd one, but generally. So Instagram, Ashford Motors, or TikTok, Ashford Motors, or just Google Ashford Motors. We're on it all. We're on everywhere.
We'll find you. Nadia, thank you so much.
Thank you so much for having me.